Verse 24. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise. Do you see the words? After them. Not with them. Another shall arise after them. The Bible is very clear on the chronology. 10 horns appear first, then the Antichrist. The 10 horns is not the Antichrist. But there will be the venue where the Antichrist arises. After them, he shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High. And then we look at chapter 8 of Daniel, verse 25. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his hand. He shall cause deceit to prosper in his hand. Well, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. Do you notice? He destroys Babylon. Babylon represents that prosperous period of the 10 horns. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, and he shall be broken without human hand. Notice again in verse 24. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, see, by the devil. He shall destroy fearfully, and shall prosper and try. He shall destroy the mighty as a revised Roman Empire. Then again, the emphasis is, he is broken without human hand. Verse chapter 11, Daniel, verse 45. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. So all these are prophecies about the Antichrist and what will happen. In other words, the Assyrian. The Antichrist in the Bible terminology is also called the Assyrian. So having understood all this, we look at the book of Nahum and see some positive aspects. Now we realize how Nahum talks about the Assyrian all the time. Now here is where we give you some clues. In the book of Nahum, there are some portions of the scripture that refer directly to Nineveh representing Babylon. And some portion of the scripture where it talks about the king of Nineveh representing the Antichrist. There is a relationship between the two. At times you see talking about what we call Babylon. At times you talk about the Assyrian. And basically, it's the Assyrian, it's the Antichrist, ruling through Babylon, conquering and ruling through. And the final judgment will come upon the Antichrist. The final judgment will come upon Babylon, and will come upon Antichrist himself. So we see here, in the book of Nahum chapter 1, it sort of decree destruction on the Antichrist and on Babylon, on the devil, on Satan. That is Nahum chapter 1. Nahum chapter 2, in Nahum chapter 2, you notice that it begins to talk more of the destruction in verse 11 and 12. Where is the dwelling of the lion and the feeding place of the young lion? Where the lion walk, the lioness and the lion's cub, and no one make them afraid. The lion tore in pieces enough for his cubs, kill for his lioness, fill his case with prey, and his dens with flesh. Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will burn your chariots in smoke. The sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall be heard no more. Nahum chapter 2 is like God addressing the Assyrian, the Antichrist. Nahum chapter 3 is like God addressing Babylon. I'm talking about the utter destruction that come all over the place in the rule of the Antichrist. Now, what will happen during the Assyrian day? Here is where the blessings it is in chapter 1, verse 7, which are also prophetic. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. See, chapter 2 and chapter 3 and Nahum talks about the rise of Antichrist, how he's involved in his rise and in his utter destruction. At the same time, just before he arrives, or about the time he arrives, if in the time of the Israelites, in verse 15, Nahum chapter 1 verse 15, behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace, O Judah, keep your appointed feasts, perform your vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. Notice verse 15, it says, the good news will go forth first. So before the rise or the rule, they would be rising. The spirit of Antichrist would already be at work. But before the establishment of the 10 horns, the Bible prophesies to Nahum, the good news will go forth. The gospel will be preached to all nations. There will be messengers going forth, like Romans 10 telling us. The good news are born all throughout the world. Well, Romans 10, let me read the exact verse for you. Verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Gospel of peace. Verse 15 of Nahum 1. Behold on the mountain, how lovely on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. Now you notice that before God allows destruction to come forth, the news, the gospel goes forth throughout the entire world. God gives a chance. God gives an opportunity for redemption. Turn to the book of Revelation. Chapter 14, verse 6. Verse 6 to 8. Do you notice how closely it's tied to the fall of Babylon? Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment has come. That is, it's very near. Worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. And another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Do you see the connection? The gospel go forth. Then the news, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Now, because there are two dispensations, we need to divide it. There is the Gentile dispensation and the Jewish dispensation. The Gentile is in the church age, from the time of the book of Acts until the rapture, covering a period of approximately 2,000 years. But not exactly, alright? Approximately. No one knows the exact time. And the Jewish dispensation that is left over is 7 years. Just for us, the rise of the 10 horns would be significant. Not the rise of the Antichrist. But as we see the rise and the utter destruction, because from the moment that the rapture takes place, the Antichrist has to rise. For the Antichrist to rise, he needs to destroy the ten horns. So the ten horns must be formed before the rapture. So we realize that as we are nearer and nearer the last days, all the prophecies about the power of God releasing in the last days will be released very close. I mean, it's being released now. We are in the Feast of Trumpets. But the fullness of it, the full measure of it, will be released with that angel going above to declare all over the earth, backing us up through every tongue, tribe and nation, the everlasting gospel. And close to that time, then we know there's a revival, a worldwide revival that will take place. See, when the angel goes out, it's a worldwide revival. Then, the rapture takes place, Antichrist rise, destruction follows. In the Jewish dispensation, the gospel going forth, which for their end is not the rapture, is Christ descending on the Mount of Olives. For them, it would be the 144,000 going forth, ministering, etc. And in the first 3.5 years, then we realize the abomination of desolation takes place. Then they flee into the wilderness. And that's when Jesus Christ descends at the end of the last 3.5 years upon the earth. But what we see is the intimate connection between the judgment coming and the revival. It's so close together that we need to take heed. Nahum brings this kind of picture that no other prophet brings on the Assyrian. Now we see the beauty of the book of Nahum. And praise the Lord, those 3 chapters go very far. Just this little book, to understand it, we got to run to Revelation, we got to run to Daniel, run to Isaiah. Praise ye the Lord. Don't run too far, Nahum. Maybe he's running all over because Nahum 2 verse 4, he sees chariots running all over. So we are following him along. And then we notice here in chapter 2, says in verse 2. See, verse 2 comes especially now for the Jews. It looks like by Nahum 2, it's all Jewish dispensation. At least in Nahum 1, it's still a Gentile dispensation. Close to destruction, destruction pronounced and decreed, but didn't come yet. That's chapter 1. Looks like still Gentile dispensation. By chapter 2, it looks like it's Jewish dispensation. It says in verse 2, "For the Lord will restore the excellence of Jacob." In the 7 years, the last dispensation, the last week of Daniel, Israel will be restored in the first 3.5. Israel will be restored in the first 3.5 mightily before the Antichrist comes and causes destruction and takes over as a false Messiah. And then the remnant will run and flee. So we see the pattern in the book of Nahum. And of course we see the final conclusion in chapter 3. It says here, verse 18 and 19, "Your shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Your nobles rest in the dust. Your peoples are scattered on the mountains, and no one gathers them. Your injury has no healing, your wound is severe. All who hear news of you will clap their hands over you, for upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually?" He talks about the utter, complete destruction of all. Look at in verse 15, 16, 17. "He multiplied his army like the locusts, and utter destruction comes." It looks exactly like the book of Revelation 19. The Antichrist gathers together all the armies of the earth like locusts. And that's where the great confrontation comes to pass. And the destruction of the Antichrist takes place. Revelation 19. So it harmonizes with Nahum chapter 3.